This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man sabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi and welcome to another episode in the life of no other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever is beloved to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ultimately beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last session, we were speaking about the amazing story of Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu embracing Islam. Today, we will carry on with the life of Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. Shortly after Khalid embraced Islam, the Muslims are required now go to a battle. And the background to this battle was that the Prophet ﷺ sent one of his messengers to give a message and call people toward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he goes towards Sham, a leader of a tribe called Ghassan, Shurahbil bin Amr, who was a Christian but an Arab, he decides to capture the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ and kills him. Now, in those times, or at any time, you know, one thing you don't do is diplomatic norm is that you do not kill a messenger. But he killed a messenger of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now prepares an army to take revenge. This army that the Muslims have prepared is 3,000 strong. So it's not a very large army. The historians mention that this was the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He prepared a 3,000 army just to fight Ghassan. But what happens is that the Byzantines also send an army as well. So now you have the Arab tribe of Ghassan and you have a large army sent by the Byzantine Christians. The historians mention that the army which the Muslims are now going to face was many, many times the size of the Muslim army. Some historians have said Minimum, at least 10 times the size of the army of the Muslims. But some have said it was far greater than this. So the Prophet ﷺ prepares this army and he sends it. And before he sends it, he gives them some guidance. He says the general of this army will be Zayd ibn Harith. He said if Zayd is martyred, then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. If Ja'far is martyred, then it will be Abdullah bin Rawaha. Now who are these people, subhanAllah? Zayd bin Harith was known as the beloved of the Prophet ﷺ. He was so beloved to the Prophet ﷺ that the Messenger of Allah loved his son as well, Osama, because of his love for Zayd. Whenever there was an issue, the eminent Sahaba, the major Sahaba, the Sahaba who were close to the Prophet ﷺ would send either Osama or Zayd to intercede on that issue. That's how much the Messenger of Allah ﷺ loved Zayd. The second person is Ja'far. Who is Ja'far? Ja'far is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the famous Ja'far who stood in front of Najashi and gave a speech, you know, who changed Najashi's outlook on Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Ja'far. When Ja'far came back from Abyssinia, the Messenger of Allah was in Khaybar. They have just defeated and taken the fortresses of Khaybar. The Prophet ﷺ saw Ja'far, he stood up, he jumped up, he embraced Ja'far and he said, I don't know what gives me greater pleasure, that Ja'far has returned or that we have defeated the army of Khaybar. Now, subhanAllah, amazing lesson we learn from this is what? That the message of Allah ﷺ for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was ready to sacrifice his own family. He never left his family behind. If it was for the sake of deen, because ultimately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Jannah was waiting for them. So, subhanAllah, then the third person was Abdullah bin Rawaha. He was an Ansari Sahabi radiallahu anhu, a poet. He would defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his poetry. The Jews said, if Muhammad is a true prophet, and what he has said, that if Zayd is martyred, then Ja'far, and if Ja'far is martyred, then Abdullah. He said, if he's a true prophet, none of you are going to come back. All three of you are going to be martyred. SubhanAllah. When Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu heard this, he thought, okay, the army left, and he thought, let me pray the final Jummah behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he remains behind. The Messenger of Allah comes and he's giving the khutbah, and he sees Abdullah bin Rawaha. And he said, oh Abdullah, what? Why are you still staying here? How come you haven't gone with the expedition? He said, oh Messenger of Allah, last Jummah, I wanted to pray behind you. The Prophet said, oh Abdullah, you will never ever be able to attain the reward of those who have already left in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslims now, they leave. And when they reach there, they reach Muta, they realize that the army is far, far greater than their number, subhanallah. So now they're deciding. Some are saying, let's go inform the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, the Messenger of Allah didn't know that the army we are facing is so large, at least 10 times our number. But Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, no. He said, listen, let's go forward. It's a win-win situation. Martyrdom, Jannah, or other victory. Either way, we win. If we're martyred, we get Jannah. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us victory. And they line up, and the battle starts. And subhanallah, Zayd is martyred. Ja'far takes the flag. They cut off one arm of Ja'far. He takes it with the other arm. They cut the other arm. And Ja'far has a flag like this. He's holding it on his chest. And then he is martyred. Then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu takes the flag. And he is martyred. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if all three of these are martyred, then you choose a man from amongst yourselves. Now they've got no general, they've got no leader. So Thabit bin Arqam picks it up. But Thabit doesn't want to be the general, so he's looking around. And his eyes fall on no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And he says, Khalid, take the flag. Now Khalid was a general. Everybody knew the military achievement of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. But the humility of Khalid was this. He said, no. He said, you Thabit are a Badri Sahabi. How can I take the flag when you are amongst us? But Thabit radiallahu anhu was insisting, and everybody now united on the fact that Khalid should take the flag. So Khalid radiallahu anhu now takes the flag, and Khalid radiallahu anhu, to inspire the Muslims, he says, O believers, go forward, for the doors of Jannah have been flung open. And then he said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And Khalid was a leader. He's a leader. And you know what? My proof on the fact that he was a leader. On that day, Khalid radiallahu anhu broke 9 swords. Can you imagine with what vigor, ferocity Khalid must have fought? He broke 9 swords. The Muslims managed to push back the enemy, and then night falls. So what did Khalid do? Now Khalid was a military genius. Now Khalid knew that the numbers and the odds were very difficult for the Muslims to fight. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, now what he does is, in the darkness, under the darkness of nightfall, what he does is that he sends one regiment and he says, go and hide behind the hillock. He sends another regiment and he goes, you go further afield. And then what he does is he changes, he puts the right flank to the left flank, and he changes the left flank on the right flank, and then he gives them new flanks. So in the morning, when the armies line up, they see this new Muslim army reinforcements with new flags. They think it's a new army with new flags. They look at the other side, new flags, new faces. So they're thinking, yesterday was difficult to fight a handful of these guys, now they got reinforcements. Then Khalid, he commands the regiment that he sent behind the hillock. So then they come out as well. And they think, more reinforcements. And then the other group that he had sent far away, he told them to ride in circles. Make dust fly. So they see the dust from a distance, and the enemy thinks that there's more reinforcements. SubhanAllah. While they're in this confusion, and you could say state of terror, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu tells the Muslims to attack. And they attack. And they push back this enemy army, which is far, far greater than their numbers. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu, when he sees that there's an opportunity that the enemies have been pushed back, he slowly withdraws his army and they retreat back to Medina. La ilaha illallah. When they reach back to Medina, they get taunted. The people start saying to them, "You fled from the battlefield. You fled from the battlefield." The Prophet ﷺ said, "No, no, no. These were people who attacked and attacked, and they were victorious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The beautiful thing about this is when this battle is taking place, the Messenger of Allah is sitting in Medina with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then all of a sudden his eyes begin to flow and he begins to cry. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Zayd has been martyred." And then he begins to cry again. And he says, "Now Ja'far has been martyred." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I saw Ja'far flying in Jannah with the angels, and Allah had replaced his arms with wings." And then he says, "Abdullah bin Rawah has been martyred." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is crying and he's telling him this story. And then he says, "Now a sword from the swords of Allah has taken the flag." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Now the battle has begun to rage." Subhanallah. Now Khalid's coming to the scene. So that this, you know, was a great victory for the Muslims in the sense that they saved themselves from such a large enemy. But I'll tell you what the greatest victory of this battle was. The greatest victory of this battle was that it created the sword of Allah. Sayfullah al-Maslul, the unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was created in this battle. And this is where Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the greatest general that ever lived after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, started his journey. No other general was as great as Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And we will discuss this inshallah as we go along. The next battle in which Khalid radiallahu anhu participated was the conquest of Mecca. Now, what is the background to the conquest of Mecca? This is ajib. You know, when the Muslims came to perform their Umrah, so they come to perform their Umrah because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dream that he is performing Umrah. So 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum come to perform Umrah. But when they reach there, they're told, "Sorry, you can't perform Umrah. You can come the next year, but this year, no. We, the people of Quraysh, the people of Mecca, are not going to allow you to enter into Mecca." So this is what happens. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now goes back. But at that time, on that occasion, they make a treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that for 10 years that the Muslims will not fight the people of Mecca and the people of Mecca will not fight the Muslims. And anybody who has an allegiance, an alliance with either party, they are also not to be attacked. So the people of Mecca had an alliance, an allegiance with the Bani Bakr. The Muslims had allegiance with the Bani Khuza. So what happens with the passage of time? With the passage of time is that the Bani Bakr attacked the Bani Khuza. And some of the people of Quraysh, including Ikramah, etc., also were involved in this attack. So they attack the Bani Bakr and they kill many of the Bani Bakr. In some narration, they kill them in the Haram. So now this gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam an opportunity to bring this up with the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan, who was very arrogant about this situation, said, "We don't care what you think about this situation." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now he prepares an army, subhanallah. I just want to go back to the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. The Sulh al-Hudaybiyah was a time when all the conditions went against the Muslims. The Muslims are so distraught, they weren't allowed to perform Umrah. They were apparently humiliated. But when they were going back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, "Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina." We have given you a manifest victory. This was the manifest victory. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now prepares an army to go to Mecca. The people of Mecca had basically given up. They saw the numbers, the Muslim numbers had swelled since Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. So they decided, It's not worth us even trying to fight these individuals. So they allow the Muslims. The Muslims entered Makkah in from five or six different ways. So they all entered. Only one group of people decided to be an obstacle for the Muslims, and that was where Khalid was going to come in from. So the direction Khalid was going to come in from, which was the back of Makkah, his best friend Ikramah. Remember, Ikramah was with Khalid on the other flank of the cavalry at the Battle of Uhud when they afflicted the Muslims. So Ikramah is Khalid's best friend, and he stands not allowing Khalid to enter. The other person was Safwan ibn Umayyah, who was the brother-in-law of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. These were the group of men said, "We will not allow you to enter into Makkah. We will stop you." So Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, being Khalid, subhanallah, he attacks them. He attacks them with so much ferocity that 24 people from the Quraysh are killed and 4 from the Bani Huzail. Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is watching this. So he's seeing this, and because of the sacred nature of Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really didn't want any warfare. He wanted it to be taken without any bloodshed, peacefully. So what happens? What happens is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam watching from a distance, he sees the sparks of swords striking each other. And he gets enraged. And he's very upset. Because everybody else has entered into Mecca peacefully, but that direction there's been bloodshed. So the Prophet ﷺ now angry, he's angry at Khalid. But when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah and he explained to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said, "That is fine," and he understood the explanation of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Shortly after Fateh Mecca, the Muslims prepared an army to fight two major tribes, the Khwazin and the Bani Thaqib, who both lived in and around Taif. Now, the Muslims, subhanAllah, by now the numbers have really swelled up. There's 12,000 Muslims, and there are 2,000, out of which 2,000 are converts. So it's a large army they're taking to the Bani Khwazin. And on this occasion, Allahu Akbar, the Muslims, because their numbers are so large, they're saying to themselves, one Sahabi said, "You know, today we'll never be defeated. On occasion before, we were small in number, as Allah said, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ," that we assisted you and we helped you at Badr and you were small in number. The other meaning of adhillah is that your enemies regarded you as insignificant and dhaleel. They thought that you were nobody. So you had that. And on every occasion, the Muslims were less in number. Today they are far bigger, larger in number. They're larger than the enemy. So one of the Sahabi said, "Today we're never going to be defeated." So what happens? They're on their way and they're ambushed. And the Bani Thaqif and the Bani Khwazin, they were warrior tribes. But their main ability to fight was that they were expert archers. So when the Muslims were going through the valley, they ambushed them. And they started shooting arrows at them. And the Muslims were all confused. They were startled. They began to run in all different directions until only 10 people remained with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu on this occasion was in charge of a cavalry of 700 people. And he falls off his horse and is injured badly. And Khalid radiallahu anhu then jumps back on his horse, although he's injured very badly. And then eventually the Muslims get the upper hand from the tribe. And they, alhamdulillah, they get the upper hand and they manage to defeat them and manage to push them back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something just amazing here. He says, Badr, he says, "We assisted you when you were small in number." Here, Allah reminds the believers, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مُوَاطِنِ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. He said that we assisted you in many, many occasions. But remember, Hunayn, when you marveled over your numbers, when your numbers impressed you, and Allah says, on that occasion, your numbers didn't really make any difference if it was not for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was badly injured after this battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into every single tent to find Khalid bin Walid. Show that the love that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the attention that the Messenger of Allah paid to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He went into every tent. He eventually found Khalid radiallahu anhu and he paid special attention to him. Brothers and sisters, what we learn from this is Allah doesn't look at quantity. Allah looks at quality. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How often a small number of people who are loved by Allah, who have the help of Allah with them, defeat a large group of people who number-wise are far larger. Thus, Allah looks at quality and not quantity. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reminds us on the Battle of Hunayn, where numbers were huge, impressive. But Allah doesn't look at numbers. Allah looks at this. Allah looks what's in the heart of the believers. May Allah give us a tawfiq to understand this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Fatih Makkah, gave Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu the responsibility of destroying two major idols, Lat. Lat was second to the Kaaba for the Arabs. Lat was in Taif. It was a major idol. The people after the Kaaba, this was the most revered idol that they had. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was sent to destroy it. And the other one which Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was sent to destroy was Uzza. So two major idols of the mushrikeen, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was given the responsibility to destroy it. You know, subhanallah, in the 10th year of Hijrah, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was sent to Najran. Now, Khalid is known as what? Khalid is known as a military man. He's known for slash, destroy this army and destroy that army. On this occasion, the Prophet ﷺ didn't send him for that. The Prophet ﷺ sent him to Najran with 400 men for da'wah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu stayed in Najran for 6 months. Doing what? Giving da'wah. This was, subhanAllah, the nature of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He was a very diverse individual. Very intelligent individual. You know, sometimes when you speak to youngsters, they say, yeah, we want to be like Khalid bin Walid. We want to be like Umar ibn Khattab. Strong men. Brave men. Alhamdulillah, all of us should inspire to be like these individuals. But remember something. Khalid and Umar were also very intelligent individuals. They were very people what you know as Rajulun Kamil. Holistic individuals. Real men, kamil men, whole men. That's what they were. See, sometimes we have a person who is brave. He sees Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He's brave, but it doesn't have much intelligence. The ulama defines this half a man. That he's brave, but because he doesn't understand the situation, he can't read the situation. His bravery actually gets him in problems and gets everybody around him in problems. So it's raw bravery. Islam doesn't want raw bravery. Islam wants an individual who has both these qualities. So they could define, the ulama define this as half a man. The other person is who understands the situation, who can read the situation, who knows what's happening about around him. But that person is not brave. So he can read the situation, but doesn't have the get up and go, the drive to make a change. Ulama also define this person as half a man. And then who's a real man? A holistic man. A holistic man or woman, may I say. It's that person who is brave, who has get up and go, but also has the intelligence to read the situation. and know the situation and be impactful wherever they may be. Brothers, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a strong believer. The narration means physically strong. Allah loves a strong believer more than He loves a weak believer. But understand, although Allah loves a strong believer, but understand that at the end of the day, the thing which makes the biggest difference is not the muscle, but it's the brain. Look, elephants can destroy, but don't have the brain to create and make. So although both components are important, but overall, we should be people of intelligence. We should be people who have a get up and go. People who are driven for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallah feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.